Savannah. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Our guest today is Carl Radl. That's R-A-D-L. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And during the break, I got up and grabbed my copy of Reckless Rights, Purim, and the Legacy of Jewish Violence. And they really do have a big legacy. I mean, they are some of the most violent people in the world. And one of the things that struck me when I started reading about the Holocaust was, how could these people be so stupid just to let themselves be slaughtered like this? I just could not conceive of it, that they would just allow themselves to have this happen to them. And then you find out that they are really probably the first terrorist especially in Russia. I mean, their terrorist tactics in Russia were just horrible.
Well, the Jews created terrorism, actually. They're the first documented people we know for sure who originated the idea behind terrorism.
Right.
If you look at the Bible and look at the Maccabees, then are they not terrorists?
Yes. Yes.
they're going around.
I mean, that's pretty awful too. Oh, let's go and kill these 75,000 people.
Yes, Esther is, if you remember your that particular book, it's one of the key figures in Jewish history. Because all of a sudden, whenever the Jews have a problem, have any kind of anti-Jewish government that they're dealing with, all of a sudden they start reading the Book of Esther a lot,
right.
And they start quoting from it a lot. And it's something that Finkelstein mentioned, not Finkelstein, can't remember his name now, Horowitz mentions, is that the Jews historically love to use the Book of Esther when there's any kind of anti-Jewish power on the horizon, because it tells them that they'll come out in the end and they will kill all the Gentiles. And I remember reading during my early couple of years of me doing research into the Jewish question, about some of the Jewish units in the U.S. Army in World War II. And what they were talking about, going to Germany and raping women, you know, just because they were German. And they were talking about that, killing them, murdering them, everything. And it was just, you just sat there, and the fact that there was no, you know, there's no comeuppance, there was no criticism of this, there was no nothing. It was just, well, that's fine. No, it isn't fine, and why aren't you criticizing this? Why is there no, shall we say, there's no moral code in there? It's just, oh, they're Jews, they can do what they like. If it was the Germans doing it, that's evil. If it was the Allies doing it, it's suppressed. If it's the Russians doing it, it's evil. Any power, which is any group, any other than the Jews, is not allowed to do it, and not allowed to do it, or has to suppress the fact they've done it. Jews can talk about it openly. And that's something I think that's deeply troubling to I think, a lot of people, particularly in the anti-Zionist movement, is the fact that the Jews do get away with it. They get away with it a lot, and they make up stories. They'll just character assassinate people. And I remember when I ran an experiment a couple of years back. I decided that I was going to try and work out how Israel, pro-Israel think people think. And I ran an anti-Semitism group, so a group that opposed anti-Semitism on Yahoo, and I got a load of Jews involved with it, and it was interesting. It was a very interesting experiment to do, actually, because in doing so, I got to understand them as a people. The fact that they would sit there and they would talk about Gentiles in a way that is deeply offensive to anyone.
Yeah. All right. Alrighty, we are going to take a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 links. You can purchase yours now at campingsurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord 1,000 feet. Only $39.83 right now on campingsurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from campingsurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation. Campingsurvival.com. Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Carl Ratto, author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. I think that's really funny that you have this group so that you could kind of learn about what they think and how they speak and talk about us. When they don't think that we're listening. Now, I worked with a lot of them when I was in the textile industry, particularly out of New York. In fact, that's who monopolizes the textile industry. And, and of course, they weren't themselves, you know, they were typically, well, they tried to cheat me out of my commission checks and just all, on a constant basis, constant. Had to watch them all the time. They cheated me as often as they possibly could.
Yes.
And they were very promiscuous.
Oh, or that's...
Yeah.
That's quite common. I mean, one particular thing that really got my back up when I was watching this, and I set it up mainly to understand how they came up with their arguments against critics of Jews like me. But one of the things that they actually had on it was an impregnate a shiksa competition. Now, for a shiksa, for those of you who don't know, is the Jewish way of describing a Gentile woman as they consider to be attractive. Basically, it's the version of calling a woman a slut, assuming that she will lay with anyone, because that's actually said in the Mishnah that a Gentile woman will have sex with anyone, and that she wants to have sex with Jews particularly. And one. They had this competition, and it was almost frightening, because the people, they were doing as if it was no problem at all, just impregnate them and wander off kind of thing. There was the kind of rule. they were going off about it, they were talking, giving accounts of it, and I ended up closing the thread just so I couldn't read any more of it. It was awful. My wife has many similar stories of at university in New York when she was, because she had blonde hair, she became a constant target of Jews because she got blonde hair and a German accent. So immediately they started, you know, in the cafeterias they'd talk to her about, I can't remember what they're called now, the Jewish trash porn literature about Nazi women and that kind of thing. They get those kind of comments that would fly around and that kind of thing. It was fairly horrific watching it, and listening to that kind of comment. But I mean, I've heard all sorts of things in my time. I've heard one particular Jew who's a real estate developer in New York, tell me, quite seriously that if you took off his kippah, you know, the little hat they had in the back of their head, that he wouldn't be seen by God. So when he was going to do something that he knew was against the mitzvot or against his conscience or what have you, he'd take off his kippah and then he wouldn't be seen because he wouldn't be a Jew. And he was just sort of sitting there going, "Are you serious?" And he was perfectly serious and sitting there going, then I asked him to turn his head around and he wouldn't do it.
Oh my goodness. Well, we do have some callers on the line. Shall we take a call?
Please do.
Let's take Lark in Tennessee. Lark, welcome to the program.
Well, hello. How are you guys today?
Good. And you?
Good. I'm doing pretty good. I'm kind of curious. This whole Holocaust thing is your guest saying that it didn't happen?
Of course, it didn't happen.
Well,
there's no actual proof.
Did you talk to anybody who was actually there that liberated the camps? My dad was there, and he told me stories about it.
Did he see gas chambers actually used?
He told the truth. Now, do what now?
He told the... What was I?
Yeah,
okay,
you know, he was there. Why don't you try talking
time.
To some veterans that were there? I mean, come on. This really happened. You know, maybe it wasn't 6 million. Maybe it was only 100,000.
Mark, you called in to ask a question. You've asked the question. Now let the guest answer the question.
Yeah, my phone's cutting out. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I was saying, it's a common thing. Okay, I understand what you're saying, and I know why you're saying it, but the evidence is not there. If someone goes to somewhere, they see something, they think they see something, it's like seeing a ghost or a UFO. How do you know that account is actually true? You have to subject it to some kind of criticism. That's what we call source criticism. That is key. And with the Holocaust, and I understand again why you're saying what you're saying, the people who are going into those camps had a preconceived belief about what they were going to find. These idea of these gas chambers, of these killings, had been going on in media, different media outlets, for about 10 years. It's like saying, if I say that I'm going to go to an abattoir and I'm going to see, a horrific killing going on, that is what I'm going to think I'm going to see. That's what I'm going to expect. If I see anything to confirm that belief, it's called confirmation bias, then I'm going to think that.
You didn't do much checking in on this. Why didn't you talk to World War II veterans? My dad was Greek. He wasn't American. So.
Well, he's Greek. Okay. Well, then, have you talked to SS veterans?
I'm calling you a liar. Straight to your face. I think you're full of beans.
Okay. Ha. Really? Thank you for that. Try talking to some SS veterans instead. It might be an idea. It'd be interesting. Why? Because the SS veterans will deny it. And why is that? Well, the SS were there, weren't they? Oh, strange, isn't it? All of a sudden, it's the Allies versus the SS. The SS say it didn't happen as a rule of thumb, but a lot of the Allies say it did, but a lot of the Allies weren't there. Some of the SS weren't there. There you go. So it's hearsay then. So where is the gas chamber? Where is the actual one? I want one Jew out of you. Tell me one Jewish name that you can prove with documentary evidence was actually gassed. I'm serious. Tell me that. Tell me one name. You can actually prove, because I'm serious, because the amount of money that these people have extracted for something that is blatantly a lie, it has to be a lie, because there is no evidence. If they have had 70 years, I've checked the footnotes, look at what the scholars say, because the scholars subject claims like yours to criticism. If they cannot find evidence after 70 years of looking, and it's not for want of looking, because there's whole fields of study dedicated to this, then where is it? Is it in the Russian archives? They can't find it. They thought they could find it. They haven't. Where is it? Is it your father? I don't know. I've talked to people who in the SS, one of whom served in the camps. He denied it outright. He said it didn't happen. I was there. I was supposed to be doing those things. I did not do them. And I believe him because I know him personally. I've known him personally for a long time. He's unfortunately dead now, but I don't want to... I'm angry because it's such a silly thing.
Hung up. I hope that he continued to listen. I think it's very difficult when you first confront or are confronted with the truth when you have believed something for a long, long time. I don't know how old Lark is or whatever his name is, Mark or Lark. But the first time you hear something, you are probably outraged. What is the three phases that people go through when they are confronted with the truth? First, they are just absolutely outraged at it. And then they finally decide that, oh, well, that was a foregone conclusion. And I think that probably he has never heard anybody actually talk about the Holocaust and actually present proof that it did not happen. And he has never looked into it on his own. He's just always believed his father. And is your father going to lie to you? Well, of course not. But as you were pointing out, he was biased when he arrived. He thought that he was going to see something, and you just automatically think that you are seeing what you've been told that you would see.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, that's what happens all the time. It's what we apply when we're dealing with claims like, you know, it's like ghosts, like any historical event. You have to say, okay, it happens. We know that people are seeing something. The question is what? A great example is ghosts. People are seeing something. People have a reaction to it. We know that. Is it ghosts? Not according to the academics, don't think so. The academics think it's something called infrasound that causes the fight or flight mechanism to go, which then causes people to get really antsy, see corner of the eye phenomenon and what have you. That is not questioning someone seeing something. It's questioning what precisely they've seen and what it actually means. And that's the difference. If someone says they saw a gas chamber, I would call them a liar. The reason I call them a liar is because there has been never in the entire history of the Holocaust literature been someone who said categorically, I can prove this was a gas chamber. It was a subterfuge. We can't say for sure it was a gas chamber, but we think it was a gas chamber because such a witness says so and such a person says so. I mean, the fact is that no historian really uses what the troops said when they came into Dachau or they came into Auschwitz as evidence, precisely because they weren't looking for something, they weren't there. What they could have seen could have been exceptional because they were only there one. They had only arrived there one day. They hadn't seen it in normal operation, and so forth. It's like it's just a, shall we say, it's a difficult thing to understand, and I can appreciate people when they have a problem understanding it, but I think in some ways people have got to understand that when you do question the Holocaust, it can become very, very irate for you very, very quickly when somebody refuses to even look at the proof against it.
Right. And the scientific proof is just unquestionable. I mean, it's undeniable.
Yes.
The scientists have gone over there. They've evaluated the so-called gas chamber and the bricks and everything else. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common?
They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a Source Reader, and his website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. Let's take another caller. Let's take next in line is Richard from Washington. Richard, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning. First, you have to realize this is a species whose idea of doing research is finding out what Kim Kardashian is doing or the Berlusconi tribe is doing or avenues of research like that. So you kind of have to expect, what kind of information that people are looking for.
But I can understand that if Lark's father went into a camp and he saw a bunch of dead bodies laying around and then he was told by his superior officers that it was a result of these people being gassed by the Germans, then people in the military are a bit brainwashed to begin with. Now, I hate to say that, but facts are facts. They are highly disciplined people, and so they are going to believe what they are told, that all of these bodies laying around are a result of being gassed by the Germans. But did his father see any actual gassings? No. But I can understand it to a point. But
Yeah, so can I. Then there's another group that believe this book called The Bible, which is a combination of myth and history, is written by a supreme alpha person that nobody has ever seen or can prove to exist.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Well, that's my point. We believe a whole bunch of mythology, and most of us structure our life around that mythology.
Nobody really
wants to do research.
Dick, do you have a question?
The question is, isn't this just another example of seeking entertainment?
Yes, in a sense, in that we seek entertainment and we seek myth and everything. See, 'cause if one of the things that a lot of people don't tend to realize about history is that history is not an objective discipline. It is a subjective one. It is all about interpretation. It is, any given event can be interpreted any number of ways if you cut the evidence differently, use different intellectual tools, you add different things to it, and it all folds very, very nicely into this idea of what we call myth history. That history is a culmination of narratives based upon the particular myths of a particular era. For example, one particular author I've recently read was talking about the fact that in the beginning of linguistics, the thought was in the Bible, we'd all go back, and it was working out what language Adam actually spoke, and there was a massive debate around this with many distinguished scholars involved. But the point is that our, shall we say, myth history perspective informs what we believe, what we think we believe. So if we take a Christian perspective, then yes, you'd have to say the Bible is either a literal document or a document to be interpreted. And if you reject the Bible, then you take some other derivative, for example, like liberalism, like Marxism, or even any kind of philosophy, even to an extent, some of the atheistic philosophies out there operate in exactly the same way, a kind of like a system to tell people, this is how to believe it, this is how to interpret it. This, therefore, will then ground your opinion. It means that you can entertain yourself because you think you're better than everyone else because you've got all this like secret information or special information, because you can look down on, you know, what's called the other. Be it Jews, be it liberals, be it conservatives, be it Marxists, be it Christians, be it atheists, whatever. As long as they're perceived as the enemy or, you know, a lesser group who haven't done the thinking you have a sense of being superior, better, and you have a purpose in life. And that is, I think, part of what was driving that particular call. It's just a very sort of, you know, reaction to, I don't want to hear this. I want to ignore this, but because I feel I've got a personal stake in it, I must get involved. I must show me in this case, that I don't know what I'm talking about, even though I've probably read more Holocaust books in, well, the last year than most people have in the rest of their lives. But it's just that kind of angry belief, and I've encountered it before. It's never pleasant to deal with, and I think the only way you can deal with it is actually by getting angry yourself and fighting back.
Right. Alrighty, well, thank you, Richard, for your call. We do need to move on. We've got a bunch of callers. Let's take Julie in Michigan. Julie, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm calling to contradict Lark's remarks, and I hope he's still listening. I had a brother who passed last year, but he was in the U.S. military, and he was in the group that were the first to enter France and Germany. And he said there were never any gas chambers. He talked to many Jewish people. He had to act as an interpreter for the U.S. because he spoke Hungarian, and he spoke to many of the people there. And he said he talked to many Jewish people. No one ever told him anything that there were any kind of gas chambers or any extermination or anything done there to any Jewish people.
Well, thank you, Julie.
So I'm going to add something to what Julie said. There's a testimony, I think, again, you know, the website called on jrbooksonline.com from a man named Heinz Wirtschart. Oh, yep, so it's going to be a break, isn't it?
Right. All righty, we'll be right back. Julie, stay over the break, please. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com, and we had Julie on the line from Michigan, and Carl, you were responding to her.
I was just saying that there's a very good testimony on JRBooksOnline.com from a man named Heinz Wirchart, who was half Jewish, and he lived through the Third Reich. He was a bit like Victor Klemperer, who was a famous diarist, again, who wasn't gassed, strange as it may seem. And then he commented about the fact he didn't hear anything about gas chambers until 1946, when Jews started claiming it. And the only time he heard it was through American Jews. And his comment was, you know, how am I supposed to believe this? Because I'm being told that there are gas chambers, but I lived through this. I lived through this time. There are no gas chambers. Another great example is a man called, I can't remember his name, Max von Oppenheim. He was a Jew. His father was a very, very prominent Jew as well. And he wrote a report for the Third Reich in 1940 about Islamification of North Africa to make it revolutionary against the British. He'd done it in the First World War as well, and he wasn't gassed. And he wrote memoirs after the war, his time in the NS, as he called it. And our question is, why were all these Jews, if part of a mass homicidal gassing program supposedly decided at Wannsee, why were they all missed? Why was Why can we not find any single Jew who can be proved unequivocally to be gassed as part of this massive gassing program? Yet we can find testimonies which tell us of, oh yeah, I lived through it, but I wasn't gassed. I wasn't shoved in a wagon and sent east to these gassing camps. Of course he wasn't. And the interesting thing is that according to Holocaust research, and it's again related to Lark, is that even if you're part of the Greek resistance or what have you, as he was commenting about it, then if he's one of the first soldiers into it, then he can't have been. You know, the reason he can't have been was very simply he'd have to be fighting with the Soviet army. Because the only camps that were liberated, that are still regarded as death camps in any shape or form with gas chambers, are in the East.
That's right. He would have had to be fighting with the Soviet, the Russian troops.
I would guess he's referring to Dachau. At a pinch.
Right.
That's the only thing I could think of. Dachau, because that's the only one they claimed. Was it Dachau and Mauthausen, I think, the ones that were claimed to have gas chambers? And Bergen-Belsen, I think, was claimed by the British to have them. But it just seems really strange to say, oh, he saw a gas chamber. Okay.
Right. So we don't know what he saw. Alrighty, Julie has dropped, so let's move on to Jack in Canada. Jack, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
Good, and you?
Surviving, thank you very much. now, I have a couple of questions to your guest. Do you deny that there were concentration camps?
Nope.
What was happening in those, in your opinion, in those concentration camps, and why they were organized?
Why were they organized? That's very, very simple. In the middle of World War II, the Jewish question had become a key issue for the Third Reich. The documents suggest that, yes, that's true. Now, what the documents also tell us is also why the camps were created. The Jews couldn't serve the Third Reich.
You are starting from the wrong moment, because, for instance, Dachau was established much earlier.
Now, that was, yes.
Auschwitz was established primarily at first to concentrate, as they called it, Polish prisoners, not Jews.
That's correct.
Only later. So what for were Dachau and Auschwitz originally established? What was going on there?
It was political. I thought your question was more related to the Jewish issue of concentration camps.
Because you are talking about many things. There are many more people involved in tragic events who lost their lives there for no fault of their own, and there is no mention of them. Jews came relatively late into that whole situation, as you say.
Yes.
Now, the thing is, only in that context you can understand what was going on in the concentration camps. Do you know, for instance, or maybe you have some knowledge, but you're not mentioning it, that people were en masse disappropriated in Poland, for instance, in either concentration camps or slave labor in Germany or in occupied France and elsewhere.
That's true.
Do you know that many of those people didn't make it back? Now, what was all of that done? I can tell you from my personal experience, because this happened with the family of my wife. She was born in France, because her parents were disappropriated. Germans came and took over the farm, and they were sent as slave laborers to France.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, so now you have to put that into specific context. Now, Hitler didn't leave any doubts about why he was doing it, because for him, Eastern Europe, or Middle Europe and then Eastern Europe, was the Lebensraum for the Übermenschen.
For the Germans, yes.
Correct. And they were, this was just a matter of time when and how they would finish off those people, which is essentially what he was as Talmudic as you can be. You know, he had
Jack, you called in to ask a question, and then you've gone on spewing forth and would like to share. Why don't you let Carl answer the question that you called in to ask?
His idea of Übermenschen is precisely the same idea that is being exercised by his apparent
Jack, so, I don't think you really want an answer to any question. I think
I think I know what he's getting at.
The discussion.
Okay, let Carl answer your question, Jack, please.
Yeah, I just asked him the question. Why was
okay?
All
let him answer it.
What for? Could you repeat what, those?
I told you. The interesting thing is that this particular policy, I know what you're talking about. I know why you're talking about it. The only thing that
I'm talking about it because this is of my business.
Carl answer your question.
Yeah, well, let him not tell me why I'm talking about something. I'm not telling him.
Jack,
about
you called in to ask a question. Now let Carl answer.
Yeah, okay, but not telling me why I'm talking about something. I'm not telling him why he's talking.
It's a figure of speech, Jack. I'm sorry. Okay. What I mean is very simple, is that when you are talking about a policy, you're talking about a particular generalization of a particular policy. That policy, it was a generalization of the East. Okay. What I'm guessing your logic is, okay, is that if the Germans were going to Germanize the East, that means they wanted to exterminate everyone. Am I correct?
I know for a fact that they were exterminating because I was born in families which were decimated by them. Not only by them, by the allies, the Stalin and his comrades. Because when they divided Central Europe, they divided also the spoils, and they were dealing with the population exactly the same way. They even had conferences about how to do it, right? So, you know, let's put it in the perspective. Then you can come to the question of the Jews. I don't think that those Jews which were captured by the Germans, and they have been a lot, they were captured for benevolent reasons, right? Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
Right.
Okay. All right.
You've got a bit of a lecture there, I'm afraid.
Yes. All righty. Well, let's take Joel in Wisconsin. Joel, welcome to the program.
Howdy. The strongest power in the world, I believe, is the power of belief. And if you can get opposing sides to believe opposing ideas, you can get them to fight. And the two sides will adamantly believe they're right and may not notice that who is getting them to believe what they believe in the first place. That's called manipulation. In my lifetime, I think the two biggest taboos that I've ever grown up with is doubting the Holocaust and doubting whether or not planes flew into the Twin Towers. And if you consider some people that have lost someone to fight for either one of them, then you'll absolutely never change their mind.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true. Definitely true. I mean, definitely just listening to him, just the fact he wouldn't. Because I know what I say, I know what he was talking about. I know what he was going to say, and I know why he was going to say it. But I also know what the historians say is different to that, because there was a lot of context being left out.
Right.
As they would say. Sure. So that's that kind of thing. It's just people won't believe because they find it so impossible, if you like the term, what Hitler called a big lie.
Right. Trying to analyze what happened 60 years ago is much more difficult than trying to analyze what happened 11 years ago.
Yes.
But the results are the same. It's designed to cause a reaction, and they jump right to the reaction and ignore analyzing what actually happened. If you really wanted to cure what happened, you would analyze very specifically what happened so you would know how to cure it. But instead, they jump onto the cure. They always seem to have the cure before they even know what happened.
Yeah, it's Pearl Amber called it. He said, so understand, then criticize, not the other way around.
Yep, and like I said, let's take the weapons of mass destruction. Any poor person that lost someone over there fighting for that cause, or Vietnam for that matter, anyone that's lost anyone fighting for that, you're never going to convince them that those wars were phony, because that means that their loved one died for nothing and that they were all fooled. And that's pretty hard to get across to them. They're going to live with that crap for the rest of their life, and they'll be ready to fight.
Indeed.
And like I said, if you can get two sides opposing each other, they'll fight till death, and you can stand back and watch them and laugh.
Mm-hmm. More or less, yeah.
And I ain't mentioning any names as who's doing that, but...
but I think we might know, right?
I think you might. Okay, we'll let somebody else talk.
Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
All right, let's take Werner in Canada. Werner, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. It was a very lively discussion for the last few callers.
That's saying it lightly, isn't it?
Yeah, but as I say, it's a serious issues and serious problems. And unless people start taking their blindness off and look at the straight facts, and now with, I have to disagree about 60 years later, we should have a clearer view about the past because there's no more information coming out, you know, that basically overrides all this political spin and the books that have been written, you know, tainted yes. one way or another, you know, and yes. we should use our critical thinking skills, whatever we got left, you know, to sort it out. And yes. This Thank caller there, he sounds like he had a Polish accent. He completely ignored what has led to the march into Poland.
Bamberg, you mean?
Yes. And, yeah. Well, all the stuff for 20 years before that.
Yeah, and after the Versailles Treaty, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Vital living room for the German people had been taken away, and they were being squashed in a smaller and smaller area.
Yes.
You know, and all the atrocities that were happening to the German population in Poland, what I understand about before even the German army marched into Poland. 58,000 German civilians. They were slaughtered.
Yep.
And bestially mutilated.
Yep.
And what kind of a head of state can stand aside and let that happen?
Yep.
At 9/11, it was approximately 3,000. And what we look at the aftermath in Iraq and in Afghanistan, we are looking at least at 2 million people and still yep. counting.
Yep. And it's interesting, Werner, because what's an interesting little comparison is the fact that it's often forgotten that it wasn't just a physical war between Germany and Poland, and that Poland invaded Czechoslovakia in 1938, or was it 39? No, early 39, sorry. That when Germany dismembered Poland, took off the Sudetenland, they split Slovakia. They invaded, that Poland actually invaded part of Czechoslovakia in that same time. And no one batted an eyelid. In fact, the British offered them an alliance. And that the Poles and the Germans had been for 20, 30 years having a massive academic war between their scholars as to whether who or not actually owned that land. The Poles claimed it was them. The Germans claimed it was them. And it was to the point where, in 1939, when the invasion happened, the German scholars just came in and they literally kicked the Poles out, and there was no compassion there. There was no scholarly, you know, thing. It's become so acrimonious, and the fact that the Freikorps had famously fought against the Poles in Silesia because the Poles had invaded Silesia in 1919.
But the previous few decades that there were plans already in the making about
yes.
Expanding the Polish western border all the way past
yep.
They had maps already.
They were passing out maps of how they were going to expand into Germany.
And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. What had happened over the last 1,000 years, always intrusions from the surrounding areas, in this case from the east. And
yep.
they went into Germany, devastated the country, the people picked up the pieces, you know, rebuilt their lives again, you know. And, what do you expect in history? People that get trodden down and that always pick up the pieces again, after a while they either fade from the map or they become stronger. And then sooner
yes.
or later there comes a backlash. But Germany wasn't actually looking for a backlash. They just wanted
no.
justice. And they wanted peace.
Justice. And so basically they invaded Poland in 1939 because there was atrocities. No one was going to do anything about it. So they activated an invasion plan. And it's what's often forgotten in history is the fact that every country in the world has always got a plan, a military plan for a particular, any, or a multitude of eventualities. In Germany's case, they had to go to war to France, they had to go to war with Poland. So they, all they had to do was get the units in the right places and launch it. It's, people tend to assume it's a mass conspiracy. No. It's, all Germany did was say, okay, rhetoric's going up, move units to forward positions, as, you know, as has happened now in Korea. And then it was a simple case of, well, okay, they're killing Germans. We're going in.
Right. Alrighty, we are going to take a break. Werner, you're welcome to stay over the break. We'll be right back.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to santabarbarabells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. santabarbarabells.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today has been Carl Rattle, the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And also the Poles were going in, invading in several areas along the border long before September 1, 1939.
Yes, completely true. I mean, this, the famous Gliwice incident, again, for example, to give you an example of a problem in history, the Gliwice incident, which is supposed to be an SS conspiracy, when you actually look at the source for that incident, It's a man named Alfred Nujox,
right,
who supposedly defected from the SS in 1942 and claimed that he was one of Reichsleiter's Heydrich's closest conspirators in that. He was the one who organized it. And I have never, ever seen anyone come up with actually any actual documentation. It's just taken as read.
There isn't any.
No, because I think Udo Wilendi talked about it in Truth for Germany, and I went and had a look, see if I could find anything. I couldn't find anything, and I saw people using it, but again, they always cited back to a previous source, and then you got all the way back, and all of a sudden, you're back at Nujox again. It's the same thing of, you know, where's the evidence when you get back to it without taking any assumptions. I should say, I believed in the Holocaust once. I believed
so
it. I was taught it, and I was taught it at university, and I only came to question it at university because I happened across Richard Harwood's Did 6 Million Really Die? And then I asked the question, well, okay, well, this is an odd idea. Let me go and have a look. And then I had the whole cycle of, can I believe this? Is this true? Could this possibly be a lie? Could this not be true? And it was difficult for about 2 years, I think, of, you know, just questioning it while I was doing my PhD. And it was just sort of, you know, I was just sitting there going, you know, can I really believe this as a historian? You know, can I justify the Holocaust? And with a lot of soul searching and doing additional research in it, I said I just realized I couldn't. I couldn't justify it. And that it went against every single basic historical principle I've been taught.
Right.
And that,
well, even chapter 2 in that book talks about the Red Cross and that they were in the camps and they verify that there was no such thing going on.
Well, no such thing going on. I just can't believe I can't believe the idea that the Germans would kill people yet would be so slovenly as to A, not leave any documental trace, but yet leave loads of people alive, and the witnesses would get it so horribly wrong, not be able to construct a gas chamber. And remember, these are purpose built, yet they're poorly built, obviously, and yet the Germans supposedly had prior knowledge of gassing. I mean, it doesn't make any sense because even the Holocaustians can't decide how, in fact, the gas was delivered. I mean,
right,
you can't decide that basic question. Why you have this theory? And it's because of the Nuremberg trials. Simple as that.
Right. And that's where Gleiwitz was established.
Yeah, that's where Gleiwitz was established as well.
Yep.
And it all dates back there.
Yep. Well, it's been wonderful having you on the program today. We've run out of time. We always run out of time before we run out of things to talk about.
Yeah, it's good though.
Well, thank you so much, and we will talk to you soon. Sorry we couldn't get to the last caller, and thank you to the callers who called in. And have a great weekend. Bye-bye, Carl. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.